Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. We record it Wednesday, kind of Thursday. We're doing our preview show this week. It's a short week. Game on Friday night in the Coliseum. We wanted to talk some USC, Washington State. I got Brian Stultz. He's with CougFan.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian J. Stultz, S-T-U-L-T-Z. Got him on the line right now. What's up, Brian? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Can't complain. I just had a trip to Austin and came back. It's sort of a short week, or definitely a short week. And now getting ready for USC Washington State. Washington State has not played a conference game yet. USC lost to Stanford, of course. So this is a pretty big one for both teams so far.
Yes, it is. It's a chance for Wazoo to make a kind of statement on national TV on Friday night in front of a powerhouse program, and it's also a chance for USC to rebound. So sure, both teams are excited and, you know, have game plans set in and want to make a statement. So it'll be fun.
I think it'll be fun, too. And, you know, I think we know a little bit more. USC played both Stanford and Texas on the road. Didn't look good in either one of those games. And it's hard to tell. Yeah, I think, you know, the win at Wyoming, I thought Washington State looked a lot better than I thought they would on the road there. San Jose State's fairly terrible. And Eastern Washington, you know, they can score some points. They had a pretty good third quarter. What have you found out so far about this Washington State squad?
I think the offense is as good as it's going to get. I mean, it's as good as it can get. And they're clicking right now. Gardner Minshew, the quarterback, the transfer from East Carolina, has come in and done a heck of a job being a leader and replacing Luke Falk, who's always a hard guy to replace. And they have a deep core of receivers that each one can step up and has their own skills. And, you know, we don't know what they'll do against a real defense yet. I mean, Wyoming was supposed to be the real defense that they were facing, but they did great against them. And then, you know, Eastern Washington gave them kind of a test, but they pulled away in the second half. And, you know, USC will present a challenge to them. So as far as defensively, you know, the USC offensive line is huge compared to what the Wazoo defensive line has faced so far. So we'll see how they can handle the big guys up front, and if they can put pressure on JT Daniel, which would be huge, but we'll see what they could do.
Yeah, you know, here, so going into the season, there was some stuff in the offseason, obviously. I mean, the Tyler Herlinski stuff was obviously terrible. You know, on the football side, Mike Leach flirted with the Tennessee job. And this is a team that returned the fewest starters in the Pac-12. I think 4 on offense and 5 on defense. So wasn't really sure what this team was going to look like. So to me, they're playing better, you know, than I thought. I think some of the – it seems like they've handled – some of the offseason distractions. I don't know. Do you kind of see it the same way?
I think they actually grew closer as a team. And even with Gardner Minshew coming in, he's taken this leadership role. He's a outstanding guy. He's high energy at all times. The Tyler Herlinski thing, I wasn't here until July, so I can't really speak for that. But I've seen this team, you know, they're close. They've really bonded off and on the field. And I think that translates to what they've done on the field.
Yeah, it's and you know, defensively, I've been impressed. Tracy Claes comes in. He was the head coach at Minnesota. You know, I love the way this defense played. There's no Hercules Mata'afa anymore. And I think this could be a kind of a defense that gives USC troubles. We saw that happen last year, where maybe it's not the biggest guys, but there's guys coming from multiple you know, positions. You're not really sure who's going to be rushing the quarterback. And the USC offensive line, they're a bunch of big, strong guys. But we've seen them just whiff or not have guys not block at all. So I think they could get confused by what you see from this Washington State front and maybe stymie them like they did. I mean, they got minus five rushing yards against Texas. So there could be some problems there with this Washington front.
It's a three-man front with nose tackle Taylor Comfort, who's one of the best stories. He wasn't going to be on the team this year, but because he was a walk-on for 4 years. And then he was offered a scholarship late, so he was able to come back for his fifth year. And he's made the best of it, and he's made his first sack a couple weeks ago in his career. And I mean, he's a player that just gives 110% at all times. Undersized, but like you said, I mean, he has a low center of gravity that helps him beat the bigger defenders. And this defensive front has been, it was one of the biggest question marks, I would say, coming into the season. And it's been fantastic so far. Tracy Clays has been amazing with his play calling. He knows the exact time to call blitzes, which helps his defensive front. And the rush linebacker with Willie Taylor and Dominic Silva's, those two guys have stepped up, providing pressure, getting to the quarterback, and it's been a surprise so far. And I feel like they should be able to give USC some trouble.
Is it like so there's three down linemen. Is it like a 3-4 sort of look with you're not sure which like linebacker may come in and rush the quarterback?
Yeah, it's a three-man front. There's nose tackle Taylor Comfort. There's defensive end defense tackle Nick Begg, and defensive end, I'm blanking on his name right now.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't believe that. But they have a rush linebacker and Willie Taylor or Dominic Silva that will line up at the front line or play back a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of like you never know where the pressure is going to come from with this team.
The three new starters, I believe, on the offensive line. I know that was one of the concerns coming in there. Obviously, Washington State's putting up some points. How would you say the offensive line has played with the new guys in there?
That has been the biggest surprise of, I think, the season so far, is how well the offensive line has gelled. All through fall camp, it looked like they had the positions settled, and then at the very first game, Watson goes in instead of, Liam Ryan goes in for Watson, and they've stayed the same the entire time. They finally gave up two sacks last week, but as far as protecting Minshew, they've been really good. Minshew can also scramble a little bit, which helps that a lot. But as far as their performance, I think it's an A+ right now.
Okay, yeah, that's one of those things I was kind of making a note to sort of watch what's going on. Because, I think there was 19 players gone from the two deep. I'm really curious to see, what this team looks like. We don't know. I don't know. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I know about USC. You just see it every day. But they're talented, but this is a Washington State team that I just felt like was going to take a step back or so. And, getting the conference play, maybe they do. But I've just been impressed with what I've seen, so far. I think the Tracy Clays thing, I mean, losing the defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch was, I thought he was a stud. He goes to Ohio State. So getting Clays to kind of fill in and do as well or even better, it just seems like a lot of things had to kind of fall into place. It seems like they have for Washington State so far.
Well, when Clays came in, he kept the strategy the same. He kept the schemes the same. He kept the lingo the same. He actually had to learn it himself. So that has helped the transition from, Grinch to Clays. The players are, running the same defense, they have the same calls, everything like that. So that's really helped the transition.
And like you said,
before the season, everyone was picking 4-8, 5-7. I myself picked 7-5. But as Kyle Sweet and some other players said, they're Washington State. They're used to hearing that. They've heard it every year. So they're used to it. And they go out there and perform and put it out in their mind and, try to prove that they're better than that. So
is Kyle Sweet the top playmaker, you think, for the wide receiver core?
No, it's Tay Martin. Tay Martin is a sophomore. He makes exceptional catches look easy. That's the best way to put it. He's probably the, I mean, he's the top playmaker of the team. He had, I think, 167 yards receiving last week, maybe 137. He had 13 receptions. I mean, when he can get open, you got to find him because he is so dynamic. Jameer Calvin has come in and done a great job as well. I mean, Kyle Sweet might be the third or fourth best receiver on this unit.
Interesting. Okay. What about the running back spot? Is, you know, James Williams, or is there kind of a committee? What's going on there, and how they?
Yeah, it's kind of a committee. It's kind of a committee between Williams and Borgie. Max Borgie's come in and he hasn't missed a beat. You would think he was a senior instead of a true freshman. He's out of Colorado. You know, flirted with Stanford at the very end to go there, but he stayed committed to Washington State, and he's going to be a stud. I think he's really going to be a stud. They haven't ran the ball very well, but that's a product of them passing the ball 57 and 60 times a game. So they have the talent there, and both of them have the skills to get out of the backfield and catch the ball, which is a huge, huge thing in this offense. And they both have that ability to turn, you know, a pass from the backfield into the backfield into a big game. So, you know, that's another threat that, excuse me, that Minshew and Leach have on their hands.
The secondary, how's that group look so far? I don't think it's a really deep group, right? But how have they been playing?
It's not really deep, but they have talent. Jadon Thompson's probably one of the best in the Pac-12, I would say, at safety. But the cornerbacks have been, Darian Moulton and Sean Harper Jr. have been very good. There were some questions watching them during fall camp about how they would perform once the game was going on, because to put it precisely, they held a lot and they weren't called during when there was no referees. But they've really gotten better at, and one of the big things they've gotten better at is looking back at the ball when they know it's coming, and they've performed well so far. But as you say, you have so much talent. What is the right receiver, St. Brown?
Yeah, I'm going to ask St. Brown. Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, they haven't faced a guy like that yet. So we will see what they do against top competition that USC always has.
Let's talk about the kicking game a little bit. USC's special teams have really struggled. They had a blocked field goal that went for a touchdown against Texas that pretty much put the game out of reach. Roughing the punter in the end zone, dig Texas out of a hole. There's been a lot of just bad special teams plays. How's Washington State played so far? What's the specialist look like?
The field goal kicking is better than we thought. It's still a little iffy if it's beyond 45 yards. Blake Monza has done a good job of coming in with field goals. The highlight of the special teams has been the punter, Oscar Dragovich, or what I always mispronounce his name. But I think they're number one in the nation in punting yards.
Interesting. Or USC's closer to the bottom.
punting. I don't know, some punting
net punting or something like net.
Yeah,
punting.
Net punting. I think so. Yes, thank you. But he has been, and he has a booming leg. I can tell you, he's been a highlight. And last week they have two speedsters, Travell Harris, who's also a wide receiver. He returned a kick for 100 yards. So their special teams has been pretty good so far this year, I would say.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, that's one thing you got to watch. All those, to me, hidden yards are very, very important. And USC's been really bad at that one. What do you think it's going to take? I think USC's favored by 3.5, which I don't really agree with the line. I would take Washington State in the points. But to kind of repeat, you know, what happened last year, get that win on a Friday night against USC. What do you think it's going to take from the Cougs?
I think it's going to take an A game. I mean, USC has all the talent in the world, and you never know when they're going to break out. I mean, Clay Helton, I think, is a good coach. It helps that he's a good Auburn man like myself. But but you never know when USC is going to break out. And I think if the defense is able to shut down the running game, and force JT Daniels to make plays, of course he might have a great game. But he's a true freshman, forcing him to make plays in a primetime game. I think the offense will click as it usually does. I think it's just up to the defense on putting pressure on JT Daniel and forcing him to miss into a couple of mistakes.
You're an upper guy. Oh, nice. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Probably before.
I had no idea that Clay Helton was an Auburn guy until this week, actually.
Yeah. Back in the day. That's interesting. Yeah.
Back in the day.
So you were covering the SEC before, right?
I was, yes.
Okay. How do you like the Pac-12 so far?
Pac-12's fun. I like it. I was one of those guys that grew up on the East Coast and was up till 2 a.m. every Saturday watching college football, you know, the Pac-12 after dark. And, you know, I always called it the one eye game because you have one eye closed sleeping and the other one trying to stay awake. So I've always enjoyed the Pac-12 and looking forward to it. It'll be my first Pac-12 true game. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. All right. Well, we looking forward to have you on in the future too. We appreciate it. Brian Stultz, follow him on Twitter, Brian J. Stultz. He's a senior correspondent at CougFan.com, which of course is part of our 24/7 sports network. Hey, enjoy your trip down here, Brian. Hopefully we'll see you up there in the temporary press box at the Coliseum. You won't get Absolutely. The full Coliseum experience till a couple. Well, actually, it'll be a while now, but you can see the temporary one. So that should be
interesting. All right.
We got some drinks, some box lunches. It's not terrible, but Friday, you know, make sure you get there early because like Friday traffic is.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I definitely want to get there early. Good point.
And it's good. Now, just to let people know, too, if you're listening, you know, preview of the game, usually fans can tailgate on campus. So you cannot do that because it's a Friday game. There will be no tailgating. Though the tailgate will have to be at the Coliseum, but the Coliseum's under construction and most of the tailgating spots were wiped out with construction of the Lucas Museum that's going in. So a lot of that stuff is gone. A lot of those lots are gone. So tailgating is going to be at a premium. And then parking, too. This whole year, you can't drive to the Coliseum and pay to park. It's only for permitted, if you're permitted. And so if you are on campus, usually you can park there early. Those lots won't open till most of them till 5 p.m. unless you have a permit. I think a permit's like 2:30. So a lot of different, it's going to be a different experience. This one's going to be a tough one to get to with all the construction and everything going on. So just, you don't need to worry about it, Brian. You'll be in the media lot, but we actually have to walk. The media lot, it's like a walk. It's like a, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile or something to get to the stadium.
Oh, nice.
It's not terrible, but it's like, usually you're right across from the stadium, but for the regular
I might just Uber it.
Oh, there you go. You can Uber it from, where are you staying?
Downtown. Okay. Downtown is some hell. Yeah, so it's not far.
Yeah. You can definitely Uber it. That'll be easier. And then they also recommend people take the Metro. I tried that once. It was a disaster, so I'm never going to recommend that, but some people do. LA is not a very good public transportation city. But just so people know, unfortunately, there's no tailgating on campus. Find what you can when you get over there. And not that we could tailgate anyway, Brian, but you know. For the fans out there, they need to know these things.
We can have it afterwards.
Yeah. All right. Brian Stultz, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone else will be back in a minute. We're going to talk about the odds of this game with Rafael Esparza. He's with Doc Sports Service. We have him on every week talking about the spread and all that kind of stuff. USC's not been doing very well against the spread, and Rafael will break it all down for us. You know, ever since I started the Peristyle podcast, people have been asking me for betting advice. Are the Trojans going to cover the spread? Truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. You can lay down some cash and win big today. That's why I'm urging you to go make your way to MyBookie. You win and they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And all you fantasy gurus out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code PERISTYLE to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Peristyle when creating an account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast. We have Rafael Esparza. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. He's with Doc Sports Service and also an odds maker consultant for mybookie.ag. We have Rafael on every week talking about the odds for the game. Rafael, thanks for coming on. How are you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain. I had a long trip down to Austin, Texas, which was, you know, wonderful, eating some good barbecue and stuff, but I didn't really get to see a great football game. Was right though. USC didn't cover that one. I don't know if you thought what you had any thoughts on the USC Texas game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game until like the third quarter, and then all of a sudden, to me, it just looked like SC didn't know how to tackle. They were out of breath. I saw a lot of hands on the hips, especially in the fourth, and I think that's why Texas pretty much controlled the game after that. So, I'm a little shocked. I guess what's the biggest concern if I'm a USC fan, 17 points in two games is not going to win any you're not going bowling. It's going to be a very, very long season if you're a USC fan. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that's got me. I thought the way they played in the first half against UNLV, I'm like, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden they flexed their muscles the second half. I'm like, okay, this is USC. Maybe they were just playing around their opponents. But then what I saw at Stanford, 3 points. What I saw last week, 14 points. I mean, how could you be a fan in any kind of college football of California, as USC or UCLA? I mean, I guess maybe to start rooting for Stanford, or, hey, get rid of your college gear and put on the Rams stuff. Because right now, both the USC and the UCLA, it could be a very, very, very long college football season.
Yeah, so this didn't cover it's hard to cover spreads when you're scoring, you know, 3 points and 14 points. 0-3, and there's some historically bad spread covering, I guess, from USC over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, their last 18 games, I can't stress this enough. We're talking about USC Trojan football. They used to be the only pro football team in California. Very long. You know, people are probably listening to that. What? Really? But no, we didn't have all these pro teams in California football. But they're 3-14 against the spread in their last 18 games with one push. Their last 7 home games. This is home. This is where they should dominate. This is where the orange or the colors of USC should be all over the place. 1-6 against the spread their last 7 home games. I don't know how they're 3.5-point favorites against Washington State. I had this pretty much either a pick 'em. I understand you're at home. You should automatically get 3 points at home. But the numbers tell me this ain't a home field advantage for USC lately. So this one, Friday night, so glad this is Friday night because there's not that many other games I can compete with unless I want to watch some baseball games and fall asleep. I'm excited to watch this with USC at Washington State.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at the odds too, the spread, because, you know, Washington State hasn't played a great schedule, but they're 3-0. You know, they threw for 470 yards in the last game. And we've seen this USC team just not put up a whole lot of points. And, you know, Washington State's like one of those smaller, quicker defensive fronts. And we saw, you know, it's not necessarily getting overpowered on the USC offensive line. It's not really knowing who to block. So when you bring defenders from different spots, you don't really know what's going on. You're not really sure who you should be blocking. I think that's going to give USC some trouble. So, yeah, like, I think I would take Washington State and the points for sure in this one. Clay Helton hasn't lost at the Coliseum, but like you said, he's not been covering the spreads at the Coliseum. He's not winning as decisively as you would want. This one, getting 3.5 points for Washington State, I would get on that. This might be, who knows, this could be Clay Helton's first loss in the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, Washington State beat them last year, people, 30-27. That game went under the spread. I looked at this 53. I'm like, maybe USC's offense will wake up, just because you figure Washington State's going to want to throw the ball and put up points quickly, because they probably think if it's a scoring golden toe-to-toe, USC won't be able to muster up with that. Because like I said, 14 points against Texas, 3 points against Stanford. But the under has to be the play here, because I just don't see USC's blowing up their offense all of a sudden. I know their last home game, they scored 43 points, but that's against UNLV, which UNLV has been putting up 50-plus points since that game. So maybe it's just their defense, what we saw against UNLV. So this one, again, I'm probably not going to have any action on this unless for some reason the numbers have moved. But Washington State has to be the play, and maybe the under, just because I'm not 100% sold on that offense, what USC brings on the field.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is you could see somehow, like you mentioned, USC getting it together But Washington State could put up points in bunches too. The number just gut wise. I'm not great at the over under stuff, but it seems a little low to me. But that's why you guys are the best at what you do.
Yeah, I mean that's where the lights stay on in Vegas, and I have a job, but like I said, for this game, we're gonna get action because there's three games on Friday night, so you're gonna get action. People parlaying it. So it's going to be very interesting. This number will move. This number, I think it's probably going to go up to four. I think the fans are going to look at USC just because of USC. They're going to look at Washington State's schedule playing Eastern Washington, San Jose State, Wyoming. They're going to look at those teams and they're going to look at, okay, USC, wow, they had to play Texas. Wow, they had to play Stanford. Of course they should lose those games. Those are both on the road. So the public money, I can guarantee you, will come in on USC late. Right now we're getting 53% of the action on Washington State, but I know the public, I know California is going to be driving to Vegas on Friday. This is the Bender weekend there, and that money will probably come in. So I would not be shocked if this number moves up to four.
Well, all right. Well, Rafael Esparza, always love checking in with you and getting the lowdown of what's going on. 3-14-1 in the last 18. That is not good for USC covering the spread, but thanks again, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Not a problem. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Rafael Esparza, Doc Sports Service, and odds maker consultant for mybookie.ag. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.